You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to this special edition of Superhuman Radio. The reason it's a special edition? Because it's my birthday. I'm proud to say that I am 56 superhuman years young. Obviously a lot of the things that we talk about on this show are things that I live my life by. And I hope that I am an example of what can be done with the body when you train, eat, sleep, and do all the things that we talk about on this show. Disease is not your destiny. It is if you live the average life of the average American. Announced on Time Magazine yesterday, 29 plus million Americans have diabetes, full-blown diagnosed diabetes, and there is a parade of pre-diabetic people waiting to join that crowd. You don't have to. It does take a little work, and it does take some critical thinking to sort out the BS from the real information. We're going to be covering some good, real information today on the show. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Jason Kaliva to talk about how synergistic effects of resistance training and protein intake affect you. Then we're going to change it up to talk about metformin and lifespan enhancing biochemical pathways with Dr. Wouter de Haes. He's going to be talking to us all the way from Belgium. And then for the last half hour, we're going to be joined by, you all know him, you all love him, Mike Mahler, to talk about the importance of living life aggressively. What a great show for my birthday. Let's get started. Dr. Kaliva, how you doing?
Good. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I'm 56 years old today. So I'm not saying this to pat my own back. I'm saying this to say to those of you out there who don't think it can be done, that it was just 1998 that I was at death's door on 11 medications with a heart dysrhythmia, not an arrhythmia. The left side and the right side of my heart were beating out of sync, and I was told that I would have to get a pacemaker. I was 330 pounds, okay? Sunday, my leg training day, total weight moved in a under one-hour leg session, 82,000 pounds, okay? So you don't have to die miserably in this life here. You don't have to follow the lemmings off the cliff there. You can change your life, your destiny, your health outcome, but it takes some work. So there you go. And to talk about that work, Dr. Kaliva, it's an important discussion that we're going to have today. So many people go to the gym, train, and see no results because they don't understand the relationship between protein intake and overload type training. So talk about the research that your group has done. How is this study designed? Is this a meta-analysis?
It's more of a narrated review. We did a search of the literature regarding resistance training and protein intake. And as we went through it, we divided the studies up and selected studies that fit a certain area of criteria, and that was at least 6 weeks of resistance training, as well as protein supplementation. And I believe it had to be 2 to 3 times per week that the training was carried out.
And how many studies actually fell into the universe of acceptable studies?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. That was a small part of the paper. We then kind of looked at the mechanisms and tried to draw some conclusions based off these mechanisms and what had been done to give some practical application.
Okay, so let's get started. What were the truths, let's say, that rose right to the top immediately when you did this research?
Well, first of all, protein intake is important. That's probably the your overall intake of protein during the day, as well, of course, of overall calories and other micronutrients.
I want to stay with this just for a second, because just recently on Facebook, some people were going back and forth about a girl who published a blog post saying that it's idiocy to track how much protein you eat. If you're eating a healthy diet, you are getting enough protein. And I vehemently disagree with this, because the reality is that our dietary habits have shifted so dramatically that protein in the true average American diet is increasingly diminishing in amounts in trade-off for cereal grains and, you know, healthy grains and corn and fruits and fibers and stuff like that. People are ignoring protein. Now, a discussion that we had with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld on this show not too long ago illustrated that somewhere around 1.7 grams per kilogram of body weight seems to be the sweet spot that seems to allow the body to increase muscle protein synthesis happily without restriction. Did you find anything like that in your research? Did you find the magic number of protein intake?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the magic number, but all the research tends to point in that direction, that somewhere between 1.4 and 2 grams per kilogram of body weight is ideal if you're in a caloric surplus and you're well-trained. It also seems the more trained you are, the more efficient your protein synthesis machinery becomes. And there's some research suggesting that trained athletes actually need a little less than untrained athletes.
Mm, interesting.
But as long as you're within that range and in a either calorically neutral or caloric surplus, you're going to see the adaptations.
Now, we know that leucine seems to be a very, very important amino acid that seems to signal muscle growth. And is that exclusively through the mTOR pathway, or is there some other magic that leucine provides?
It seems to be through the mTOR pathway. We have a piece of work that's going to be coming out at some point in the near future where we look at a extracellular leucine receptor that kind of gets the protein synthesis or the translation started before leucine and other amino acids actually make their way into the cell. But predominantly is through the mTOR pathway.
Now, there's a lot of discussion out there about free-form amino acid blends, like essential amino acids and BCAAs. But are the non-essential or conditionally essential amino acids, do they play a role in the protein synthetic response, or can we ignore them completely?
For just looking at protein synthesis, and you have to keep in mind that measures of protein synthesis don't always manifest in increases in cross-sectional area or hypertrophy. But if you're just looking at the protein synthetic response, the unconditional or the non-essential amino acids don't seem to contribute towards it. It seems that to stimulate protein synthesis, you need approximately 10 grams of essential amino acids.
Okay, so you point out in your research that while we pretty much put to bed this concept of post-workout protein consumption because of the quote-unquote anabolic window, you point out that what is less understood is the effects of different protein sources and timing protocols. So let's talk about protein sources for a moment. There are a lot of people out there who train, and I respect their decision to be vegans, but they train and they are vegans and they're getting protein from exclusively plant sources. Can you do this? Is that a successful approach in building muscle?
You can be successful in it. I mean, anecdotally, there are some very strong and very large people who are vegans.
Okay.
Now, is it the most efficient or the optimal way to increase muscle hypertrophy and body composition and strength? I don't know. I'm a carnivore, so I lean towards no, but it's certainly accomplishable.
And I think it just takes more work. I think that you have to seek out protein sources from plants that have a more complete amino acid profile. And this may actually require you to combine multiple plant protein sources in order to achieve that. I know people who are vegans and very strong and very muscular, But they make no bones about it. It takes work. They have to have, combine hemp and pea protein and so on and so forth. You can't just eat lots of veggies all day long and expect that to happen.
Yeah, that's correct. You need to combine grains and legumes. And there are certain grains that have a much more rich amino acid profile, such as quinoa, versus your, you know, traditional grains like rice.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the different synergies between training and protein intake. You can learn more about Dr. Jason Kaliva by going to his website. It's Jason Kaliva, and the V is actually a W. It's pronounced V. It's Jason, CHOLEWA.com. He's got a great blog there. He is the assistant professor of exercise science and sports studies over at the College of Science, Coastal Carolina University. Check out his website. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Take it back, take it back.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Jason Kaliva. We're talking about the synergistic effects of resistance training and protein intake so that you get all the gains that you're looking for. Okay, can we say anything about the anabolic window, Dr. Kaliva? Is it a myth? Is it really an hour and a half, 2 hours after the workout? We know that an acute bout of resistance training seems to turn on the muscle-building machinery. How long does that last?
You know, it's really difficult to say. There's a number of studies that have been done and a couple of good reviews and meta-analyses that have been done on it. It seems that the fear of needing to consume something right after you're done training is really overblown. In the review that Schoenfeld did, they kind of alluded to the point that you have at least 2 to 3 hours
mm-hmm.
post-training to eat to start the recovery
to capitalize,
and repair
process. Yeah, to capitalize on the stimulus that you just got at the gym.
Yeah, and if you look through it, you'll note there's a couple studies done in trained individuals as well. And there's also some research that shows that the protein synthetic response of resistance training decreases the more trained you become. And so it would seem also that the more trained you are, the closer to your genetic ceiling you are, the more important nutrient timing becomes.
So then what does the nutrient, so for those of us who are well trained, is it more critical to get that meal immediately after the workout, or is it, does the protein synthetic response appear to diminish in well trained because we tend to have upregulated the baseline of protein synthesis throughout the day?
You know, I really can't say one way or the other, but also, what you eat before you train has an effect on that repair, you know, initiating protein synthesis and maintaining it after you work out, such that if you're eating 1 to 2 hours before you begin to train, which most of us do,
right,
you still have amino acids floating around in your blood. You still have all the necessary constituents to start protein synthesis, and therefore, it's not as important to eat right after you work out. And I think people that freak out thinking, I need to have a shake right after I work out, and I need to have a meal 30 to 45 minutes later, are freaking out for no reason.
Were you able to discern anything in the literature that speaks to this new trend of intermittent fasting or training while fasted? There seems to be a lot of discussion about training fasted, resistance training fasted, seems to heighten the protein synthetic response post-workout. And could this be a possible a factor that the well-trained can play with to kind of get a greater response out of their workout?
This is pure speculation on my part. It's not something I've really looked into. But the anabolic response following a meal lasts 3 to 5 hours, depending on how much you eat. And so I would assume that if you measure two groups, you measured one who trains fasted, and you measure another who trains fed, that baseline level of protein synthesis is going to be greater in the fed group compared to the fasted group. And so any increase you see in it from feeding is going to be more robust in the fasted group compared to the fed group.
Sure.
Now, whether a study has been done that looks at, fasted protein synthesis, then fed, and then trained versus completely fasted.
I think Stuart, what's his name, over
Phillips?
At McMaster's. Yeah, Stu Phillips did that study. We did a show on that about 3 years ago.
Hmm.
So the literature is out there. And what I was thinking of while you were saying that is it's probably the pulse, the acute response, the acute protein synthetic response to the bout of workout may appear greater because this person is in, let's say, for lack of better terms, less of an anabolic state in fasting. But if you look at the accumulation over under a curve, I bet the fed person overall has more of an anabolic response to training because they were starting out more anabolic to begin with.
That's a good way to put it.
I see where you're going with this. Okay, so what can we say from the research? What can we say with some absolute conviction that these are the things that need to be done, the type of training, the type of protein, the type of protein timing of intake?
Sure. Are you looking for concluding statements?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Number one is get strong. Strength is a vital component to so many aspects of life. This is longevity, independence as an older adult, the ability to cross the road, to climb stairs, all of that is
to get out of a chair. To get out of a chair. That this is, we talk about this, and this is, and the ladies who are listening to the show, it's more important for you than the men, because strength doesn't come naturally. The number one reason that women are institutionalized, they fall a couple times. The kids go, "Oh, mom, you can't live by yourself anymore," and you go into an institution. So strength is critical for the women too. Don't tune out about this message. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. It is critical, and the more strength you lose, the more bone mineral density you appear to lose as well, to put it in very simple terms. So it's important to older adults and activities of daily living. And then, you know, you have this, I guess, let's call it a window of opportunity, following puberty and maybe up to 40 or 50 years old tops, maybe 30 in some individuals, where it's during that time that you want to build as much strength, build as much, let's just say, overall fitness, muscle mass, improve body composition, improve strength, improve cardiovascular endurance, and then try and maintain that later into life. And the individual who's better at building it and better at maintaining it is likely the one who is going to have a higher quality of life into their old age. So that's first and foremost. I think, secondly, it comes down to meeting your protein needs. You mentioned earlier that Americans likely don't eat enough protein. And I partly disagree, because most Americans don't do anything. They just eat too much food in general. But active Americans who aren't savvy with nutrition, yes, they likely do not eat enough protein. You know, you mentioned the term healthy diet, and it's such a
ubiquitous term, I know. It means
nothing. Yeah, there's a lot of varied for interpretation. I mean, there's a school in California and a school in New York that are eliminating meat products, meat in general, and they're going into an entirely vegetarian school diet. And is that healthy? I mean, personally, I don't think so.
No.
But anyways, meet your protein requirements.
So in other words, meet your protein requirements. If you're inactive, then maybe 60 grams a day is all you need. But if you're very, very active, you're going to have to step up your protein intake.
Yeah, and I think endurance athletes don't realize how important protein is. I think strength athletes or people who are involved in bodybuilding and powerlifting or just weight training in general have more nutrition sense when it comes to protein than endurance athletes who think they need to eat 80% of their calories from carbohydrates.
Right.
The realization is that endurance athletes turn over a lot more protein.
Okay. What's the next thing?
Well, so we've covered getting strong. We've covered protein intake.
Yeah.
The next thing would be to eat a wide variety of foods, of you know, minimally processed foods.
Yes, real foods. Okay.
Yeah. And then from there, then you can start looking more into nutrient timing and correct amount of macronutrients and so on and so forth.
Okay, so now let's talk about this. The protein synthetic response seems to occur in the proper protein sources, which means high leucine protein sources.
Yeah.
Seems to occur at about 30 grams of protein. Just recently, someone, once again on my Facebook page, while we were having a discussion about protein intakes, and I quoted and I mentioned that I get about 50 to 60 grams of protein per meal. I'm a big guy. I'm 230 plus pounds, generally between 233 and 238. And as a result, I eat about four meals a day, because that's the only I have enough time to eat four meals a day. And so as a result, someone said, but you don't utilize more than 30 grams of protein at a sitting. Now, I am not an educated individual, but I do apply critical thinking. And I look back to our ancestors and say, look, our ancestors didn't, you know, hunt a buffalo and then go, oh, I can only eat 30 grams. I'll have to come back in an hour and 30 grams more. No, they ate until they were engorged, and then they walked away and went about their business. So the other thing that I look at is this word utilize is a very, very vague, broad sweeping word. What do we consider utilization? Sure, maybe 30 grams is the ideal amount to stimulate protein synthesis, but there are other needs for protein in the body, metabolic processes and so on and so forth. And then lastly, I go, look, if you're not passing entire chunks of undigested beef in your stool, chances are you're utilizing it somehow. So am I off base on this, or am I right about this notion that, oh, you can only utilize 30 grams at a time?
I have no idea where that notion came from. Protein metabolism is a pretty complex subject, and to simplify it into a solid number, and not even a number based upon body mass or lean body mass or anthropometrics or anything like that, is pretty ridiculous. I mean, you have your free amino acid pool, which changes based upon tissue catabolism and protein consumption. And so to think that you can only utilize 30 grams of protein is pretty ridiculous. I mean, granted, if you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and gorged yourself on meat, you're still going to absorb all that protein and that calories. A lot of it's going to be oxidized because you've absorbed more than you're actually going to assimilate into body tissue.
Okay. I want to take a break about 45 seconds early, because when I come back, I want to continue on this discussion when we talk about protein that's not being used for protein synthesis. We're going to go a little deeper into this. We're talking right now with Dr. Jason Kaliva. We're talking about the synergistic effects of resistance training and protein intake and timing. You can learn more by going to his website, Jason Kaliva. And Kaliva is actually spelled Kholewa.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Keep listening to Superhuman Radio and feel your brain getting stronger by the minute. We'll be right back.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a four-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, later in the show, we're going to talk about metformin. And really, when we talk about metformin, we're really going to talk about glucose management and longevity. And then we'll be joined by Mike Mahler to talk about living life aggressively. Right now we're talking with Dr. Jason Kaliva. We're talking about the synergistic effects of resistance training and protein intake. So what are your thoughts on this notion that too much protein really can backfire on you, even though, as we discussed before the break, you know, the body's going to use it for this and that, but this notion that the body will produce the enzymes that are designed to break down protein in greater response to this protein dietary intake. And those enzymes will actually work on muscle protein and maybe cause a net no gain scenario for a hard training athlete.
I've heard the all the talk regarding protein intake and kidney health, and it seems that there's no research supporting that high protein intake is damaging to the kidneys in healthy individuals. Are you talking about digestive enzymes?
Yeah. So we did a show probably a year or so ago where this was first introduced, this notion that, I'm trying to think who talked about it, and they said, look, you know, the downside of eating way too much protein is that your body becomes very efficient at breaking down protein into amino acids. And in the absence of dietary protein, you have all these excess enzymes designed to break down protein that go to work on the muscles. So there's this kind of sweet spot. There's this theory that, you know, more is not better because it could backfire on you, not because you can't digest it. And clearly that whole wives tale about kidney function and protein has gone out the window. If you have damaged kidneys, yes, this could be an issue. But if you don't have damaged kidneys, it's not an issue. Assuming you're not drinking 600 grams of whey protein, which hits the bloodstream so quick that the kidneys may have some trouble with it. But with that all being aside, this notion that the body becomes more efficient at breaking down protein, and as a result, these enzymes indiscriminately attack muscle as well.
I haven't seen that study. Logically thinking, it seems a little absurd, and I'll tell you why. First of all, if we're talking about breaking down the protein into amino acids to absorb them, all that is confined to the gastrointestinal system. Secondly, once the amino acids hit the blood, they're broken down in the liver and metabolized and so on and so forth, if need be. Now, actual body proteins are under the control of a number of different factors, such as the endocrine system. And so to actually accelerate muscle protein breakdown, you would need that neuroendocrine cascade.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, I haven't seen the study, so this is purely speculative, but it just seems like, I don't know, you might have a greater shift in enzymes within the liver that do break down amino acids, and perhaps you'd have greater amino acid oxidation when you switch back to a normal protein diet. But to actually think that doing so would result in the catabolism of body tissues and muscle tissues without some sort of change in endocrine profiles is a little hard to believe.
Okay. What protein sources did you research in this analysis?
We looked at a number of them. The most popular ones were milk protein, whey protein, and soy protein.
Can you say anything about whole milk protein versus whey isolates and stuff like that?
Well, we didn't actually see any studies that compared whole milk, or, you know, milk as a food, compared to whey isolate. What we did see is that milk protein was more effective than soy protein, even though the amount of protein was administered, and we think that is because milk protein is approximately 20% whey protein, and you have a much greater rise in leucine.
Yeah, okay. What about training protocols? Did you look at different training protocols and then kind of pair them with different protein sources to find some that work better than others?
No, we really didn't get that deep, and it was kind of hard to decipher or pair a lot of the literature since many different training protocols and subject training status was used.
I noticed that you included some information about KAATSU, blood flow restriction type training. What did you discover when you looked at that research?
That you can stimulate muscle protein synthesis and hypertrophy, at least in the limb musculature, without a very high load.
I'm just experimenting with this again now. I'll tell you a funny story. So we did a show about a year ago. Rob Regish wrote a paper, how to add an inch to your arms in a single workout. It wasn't just a one-hour workout. It was actually a five-hour workout. But it really worked for me. My arms don't grow. No matter, I can curl 135 for reps and very strict form, but my arms don't grow. They just don't grow. And so Elisa got me a new gym bag for my birthday, and it came with these two elastic straps that held it together, like in the packaging. So I took the straps and doubled them and put them up on my up above my bicep and tricep, and I started training arms with them, and my arms are responding again. For the first time in a long time, my arms appear to be growing again. There's a lot to be said for blood flow restriction. A lot of people think it's quote unquote cheating, but sometimes you have to cheat to stimulate certain muscles that are stubborn for whatever reason to grow. It's really an effective training method. I don't understand why more people don't use it.
I think there's an ideology within the realm of resistance training and strength and conditioning. A lot of people are afraid to step out of the box and look at new programs or new training principles that do have scientific founding. Maybe they're not familiar with them, so it intimidates them.
Where do you stand on it? Where do you stand on the whole blood flow restriction protocol?
I've actually never used it, but in the research, it appears to improve muscle hypertrophy, and for bodybuilders with lagging arms, it could definitely be effective. And the fact that you're using such a light load doesn't seem to put much of a stress on the nervous system. And probably doesn't create too much muscle damage, so you could really increase your training frequency using it.
Yeah.
And then you get into maybe rehabilitative settings, and so, for example, knee surgery and something, or being in a cast,
right,
where significant muscle atrophy occurred, and again, you can use a high training frequency and start to regain that muscle mass and place yourself ahead in the whole rehabilitative process.
What else can we say about nutrient timing? Is there anything else besides that post-workout or even pre-workout, post-workout? Are there any other opportunities throughout the rest of the day after an acute bout of resistance training or even into the next morning?
Yeah, it's really difficult to say, especially given some of the great effects people are having with intermittent fasting and some of the research that's kind of dispelling the you need to eat breakfast myth. But really, it comes down to getting your protein intake. That's really the most important thing. And if you're not taking in enough protein, any emphasis on nutrient timing is going to be wasted effort.
So regardless of over what period of time you eat throughout the day, getting the appropriate or optimal amount of protein for your level of training and activity really is the end game, isn't it?
It would appear that way. I mean, you can speculate that since the anabolic response to feeding is for a small meal 3 hours or for a large meal 5 to 6 hours, that you wouldn't want to go more than 5 hours without eating. But again, there's not really any research at least in healthy, trained individuals, evaluating that.
And obviously drugs change the whole discussion completely, right? Because if you start to include high doses of androgens, which seem to protect protein or nitrogen retention and as a result, protein synthetic response, a lot of this stuff just goes by the wayside, right?
Yeah, it amplifies everything that's being done.
But the reality is that the youthful individual who has the early life hormone levels has the opportunity to kind of amplify their protein synthetic response. As older guy, I mean, I've been on testosterone therapy since 2007. I wouldn't be able to do the things I do, train the way I train, if not. But young guys who have that level naturally, they have a great opportunity to put on muscle. Just stick with it for a while.
Absolutely. And I think people who start out training have to realize that they're not going to make huge improvements in body composition over the first at least 3 up to 6 months. There's a lot of nervous system adaptations that occur, becoming more coordinated in performing the movement, recruiting the muscles in the right order, recruiting the right motor units in the right order. All those things have to take place before someone's going to start actually overloading their muscles and seeing improvements in muscle hypertrophy and body composition and things like that. And I think understanding that is really important for people who are starting to work out for the first time, both men and women. A lot of women start lifting weights, and they don't see improvements in the first month. I shouldn't say they don't see improvements. They can make tremendous improvements in strength and in their ability to perform the exercises. But in the first 3 months, they might not see any changes on the scale or any significant changes in the mirror. And they have to realize that, for lack of a better term, their body's efficiency has to become optimal before those improvements start manifesting. But once they do, they're really going to come quick and be dramatic.
I think you're being gracious by saying a few months. Most women, if they don't see the scale change in a single week, they hop to something else because they feel like this is a waste of time. It's not going to do anything for me. And you know what? And I got to be honest. I got to say most people in general, because they've been so misled by the supplement industry and the diet industry and the magazines, you know, showing pictures
TV.
This guy lost 100 pounds in 6 months, and you do the math and go, well, I should be able to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. And they do something for 1 week and the scale doesn't move, and they go, well, this isn't going to work. I got to change to something else. They don't stick to anything long enough to see any results. And this is why I like strength as the goal. You know, strength is something you can change from week to week. And if you focus on strength, then at least you have a viatical satisfaction. You have something, the journey is satisfying as opposed to the end result.
This is so true. I'm actually about to talk to my class about this whole, everything we just talked about in about an hour. But you're right. You need to focus on performance measures. And if you start to see improvements in performance, then the aesthetic improvements are going to come. And weight is such a terrible measure. You can make improvements in body composition and the way you look without seeing any changes in the scale. And
right.
This is especially true for people who are untrained. Their muscles are going to become larger. They're going to become more dense. Just in becoming more dense, you're going to add weight to your body. However, it doesn't mean that you're not decreasing body fat simultaneously and seeing improvements. And I think women especially fixate on weight, and you don't wear 150 pounds on your forehead when you go out in public.
Right. And you know what? This is a pet peeve of mine. I weigh myself maybe once every 3 weeks because I look in the mirror, and if my shoulders and my back and my chest are getting thicker and thicker and thicker, but I start to see my abs coming in, I don't care if I'm heavier. In fact, I hope I am heavier. I'd love to be 260 pounds and, you know, 6% body fat. I mean, let's be honest. So you're right, but women are the most susceptible to this. They are slaves to the scale. Your representation of how gravity affects your body is no indication of anything at all. It means nothing. But for some reason, that's all people care about. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back to wrap up the interview.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Jason Coliva. His website is jasoncoliva.com, and Coliva is spelled C-H-O-L-E-W-A. All right, so in summary, what do you hope clinicians, personal trainers, lay people take away from your research?
Well, I think the first aspect to take away from it, as we mentioned before, is consuming enough protein. I think the second aspect to take away from it, and this is really important, is that the elderly have lower anabolic responses to resistance training and feeding. And therefore, we're seeing that older adults need to consume more protein, and they need to consume a greater quantity of protein following training. It doesn't have to be right after training, but following training to reach that leucine threshold, which in young, healthy adults is only about 3 grams, but appears to be upwards of 4 to 5 in older adults. So I think that's a big part of it as well.
Why do you think that this response diminishes as we age? Do you think that it is a result of an entire cascade of biological processes that are slowing down? Or do you think the body does this in an effort to kind of protect itself? There's a lot of evidence that more metabolic debris accumulates with higher food consumption and so on. What do you think it is?
You know, I really don't know, to be honest. It's probably a combination of things. Part of it is probably the, you know, the reduced neural endocrine cascade that occurs with aging. You know, part of it is maybe some sort of DNA damage that occurs with aging. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that it can be reversed, and I say reversed. Let's say instead of reverse, mitigated to some degree by training hard and heavy, by working hard to consume more protein. I mean, I have to work hard to consume, you know, 250, 300 grams of protein a day. It doesn't just fall into my mouth. But I know that when I don't, I see the difference in my body. I see that my body doesn't respond to my training as well. I don't put on muscle. I go into the gym and I maybe get stronger, but I don't see the physiological changes, the phenotypical changes that I want to see. So it definitely takes a lot of work. It's interesting discussion, and really this discussion should be focusing more on the elderly because they're the ones who would benefit. We know that frailty is connected to all-cause mortality.
Yeah, it's true, and it's a negative cycle. You become older,
right.
You don't do as much. You try to do something that once was easy, and now it's a challenge. And for a lot of people, that is discouraging, and it continues.
What research are you working on now? Can you talk about anything in the future that you'll be releasing?
We have a couple things going on right now. Our group is evaluating the effects of both isolates and protein blends on the protein synthetic response. And we're seeing, and this has been reflected in a couple other recent studies, that protein blends are most effective at not only inducing protein synthesis, but maintaining it for a longer period of time.
And it makes perfect sense because the whey protein is almost like first gear, and in the case of micellar casein, it's kind of like second gear. You know what I mean? You get that anabolic response from the whey, and then this slow, continuous level of amino acids floods the body, and it just kind of carries it out longer. It just makes sense. And you know why? But take that back. So the audience knows that I'm about to release my first supplement in the next couple months. And it's a protein blend. And you know what we used to create this protein blend? I didn't go to any protein scientists. I did turn to Adel Moussa to help me interpret some of the research because I trust him implicitly. But we took mother's milk and dismantled it. And we said, how can we build a protein powder that looks like mother's milk as closely as possible, giving consideration to cost, obviously, throwing out the things that didn't really mean a whole lot and keeping the things that did. And when you look at mother's milk, you see ideal ratios of fast-acting and slow-acting proteins. You see ideal ratios of what they call non-protein nitrogen, which translates to free-form amino acids. You see certain types of fatty acids in there. You see certain vitamins in there. You see probiotics in there. You see protease enzymes in there. And these are the things that make an ideal protein source for humans. And we're probably 60 days away from launching this product. It's going to be called Vitalac Pro. And it's going to be the closest thing to hooking up to a breast after your workout that you can get.
That's excellent. And if you'd like to, you know, provide more evidence, I'd love to help you out with that.
Oh, when you say evidence, what do you mean?
Test it in a study.
Oh, yeah.
Whey protein.
Oh, I'd love that. I will absolutely email you about that. That would be very cool. Very, very
excellent.
Cool. Right now we're trying to work on the taste because it has colostrum in it. I mean, lactoferrin in it. I mean, we really went all the way out to make this look like, you know, as many of the important components of breast milk as we can get in there. And so the working on the flavors right now is the difficult part because right now it doesn't taste good.
But
that's the next, because obviously if it doesn't taste good, I don't care what it does for your muscles. Nobody's going to use it.
Yeah, most people won't.
Yeah. But anyway, look, great research. I hope that you'll come back on the show when you have more information. I definitely will reach out to you as we start to get samples of the protein that tastes good. And I'd love to be involved in studying it. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Listen, Jason, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Go to Jason Coleva, CHOLEWA.com, to learn more about Dr. Coleva's work. He is the assistant professor, exercise science and sports studies in the Department of Kinesiology, Recreation and Sports Studies at the College of Science, Coastal Carolina University. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about metformin. Could it actually extend life, at least for those out there who are not managing blood sugar properly? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
That's what happened to, what's his name, Rick Perry? He wanted to force everybody to get human papillomavirus vaccine in Texas. And people heard that, and they're like, okay, we're done with you, bro. You need to move on now.
He's pointing out the evildoers within our own government.
These people are crazy, these politicians. They're crazy. Dimwits. You know what we should do? When they say stuff like that, say, okay, no problem. We want to vaccinate everybody in your family first. We want to make you the test case. We'll watch what happens to you guys. If you guys survive, then we'll consider.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. Weekdays at noon.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters. As small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We did our first show in 2007 identifying glucose signaling as the main trigger for cellular senescence. to continue on in the discussion, I'm being joined by Wouter de Haas, all the way from Belgium. How you doing, Wouter?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. And we're going to talk about your recent paper, Metformin Promotes Lifespan Through Mitohormesis via the peroxidoxin, PRDX2?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, peroxidoxin, indeed.
Okay, and so this research was done on C. elegans, our favorite worm, correct?
Yes, everybody's favorite worm, of course.
Yes, yes, we love C. elegans. So let's talk about the research. Were these worms, were these transgenic worms that were designed to be diabetic in nature?
No, no. What we actually used were healthy worms at first. Well, it was already shown by another lab, by Unken and Driscoll, that metformin was able to extend lifespan in worms. So what we actually wanted to do was try and find out why metformin extends lifespan exactly. So for that, we first used healthy worms, and we treated them with metformin, and then we used several molecular techniques to try and find out exactly what is going on in these worms when they are treated with metformin to try and figure out the underlying mechanisms.
Now, were these worms fed some sort of high glucose diet?
No, no.
So they were fed the regular worm diet, whatever worms eat, that's what they ate. Interesting.
Yes, but they are fully fed, so it's a highly nutritious diet, well, mostly. But no, they weren't fed anything special.
So metformin is a glucose disposal agent. Correct me if I'm wrong, or is it something that is an insulin mimetic? Or how does metformin actually work?
Well, they haven't completely figured that out yet. They think that in humans, it actually stops. It's not an insulin mimetic, so to rephrase what I was about to say, metformin actually is the most commonly used drug for treatment of type 2 diabetes,
right.
not the autoimmune form of diabetes, but the form of diabetes that people get when they grow older or obese. Some obese people have trouble with type 2 diabetes as well. And what metformin actually, they have trouble with insulin regulation. What metformin actually does is it stops the glucose, not really secretion, but it stops the liver cells from producing glucose, which is important in diabetic patients.
Okay. So what did you find when you tested the metformin on the little worms?
Well, we quickly found out that, like you said, the peroxyredoxin, it was necessary for lifespan extension in C. elegans, which fascinated us because we wanted to find out exactly why this was. And as it turns out, what metformin actually does is the mitochondria, these are like the energy factories in each cell.
Right.
They are what provide each cell with energy. When the worms are treated with metformin, these mitochondria actually produce more of something called reactive oxygen species, which are mainly seen as damaging molecules. So that seems completely unlogical. And like you said, the same thing was found by the group of Michael Ristoff in 2007 with glucose restriction. And why we thought it was interesting was because the actual molecule that translated this increase in reactive oxygen species was not detected yet, and we found out that it's likely this peroxyredoxin molecule.
Uh-huh. Now, this is interesting because there are lots of things that increase reactive oxygen species, namely vigorous, strenuous exercise.
Yeah, true.
But also, as you point out, a reduction in circulating blood sugar levels. So somebody who is not eating a diet high in sugars and cereal grains, who tends to have blood sugar levels that seem to be lower than what would be the average of most developed nations today, I would imagine they also have mitochondria that are acting this way, correct?
That is possible, yes.
I guess the reason I'm asking you this and the reason I asked if these C. elegans were transgenic is because it appears from the research that everyone in the world would benefit from metformin based on this research, but I find that hard to believe. I feel that the only people that would benefit from this are the people who are having blood sugar issues.
Yeah. Well, what they saw actually and why the interest in metformin first started, actually, the interest in metformin as a generally health-promoting agent was that patients with type 2 diabetes, which are usually the only people who take metformin, obviously, they showed reduced signs of developing cancers than diabetics who take other anti-diabetic drugs. So,
I want to make sure I understand. So the obese people who take metformin have a lower rate of cancer than the than those who take other forms of glucose management drugs. This is really interesting because we did a show not too long ago that identifies cancer as a metabolic disease and that the cancer begins when the mitochondria undergoes a transfer that makes it more prone to anaerobic respiration, preferring glucose. Yeah. So this is interesting to me because this kind of proves that concept there.
Yeah, it is likely that the mitochondria are linked to a lot of facets of life. There are some pretty good books about that as well by Nick Lane, among others. But I wouldn't say that everybody should start take metformin because, as you said, it's a drug. So and it has some side effects, not too severe usually, but there is a chance of lactic acidosis for one, and B12 deficiency has been reported as well. So, I must say, since we published this article, I've had a lot of interest from people asking me, like, should I start taking metformin? And I always say, well, I wouldn't say you have to. I'd always, if you really want to, you should consult a doctor first. I was even contacted by some people who actually already took it before we published the paper. So there are actually healthy people taking it because they think
that's
it will extend
crazy.
Their lifespan.
But you know what? In my humble opinion, what your study does do is supports the idea that lowering blood sugar levels and maintaining healthy levels of blood sugar, more importantly, also insulin, because if you have lower blood sugar levels, you're going to produce a lot less insulin. And insulin has been associated with clotho production, which has been associated with longevity. Metformin is artificially doing something that people can do on their own through proper nutrition and exercise, getting to sleep early and getting a good 7 to 9 hours of sleep, doing all the things that we know are healthy. But instead, people rather do all the wrong things and take a pill like metformin.
Yeah, that's kind of all true. Yeah, people at my work like to call it exercise mimetic because taking it seems to mimic the effect of exercise without actually doing the exercise. Well, in worms, at least, this still needs to be confirmed in other animals, but that's what it looks like in worms.
And you know, there's another thing that needs to be said about more metformin. Individuals on metformin tend to get fatter, not leaner. You would think that they would get leaner because you would think, they're managing blood sugar, but the opposite is true. They end up getting fatter.
Well, not always, but yes, there are cases indeed of them getting fatter. That's true.
Yeah. So I don't think, I love the research. So this here, PRDX2 is produced by the mitochondria, you said?
It's not produced by the mitochondria. It's used to detect the increased stress signal from the mitochondria.
Okay. So metformin acts as a hormetin to the mitochondria by just gently stressing it sounds like, right?
Yeah, but what it seems like is, and what hormesis means, is that metformin is actually toxic, but the toxic effect is so slight that it actually boosts health because the cell detects this increase in reactive oxygen stress. As you stated before, this was already found by Michael Ristoff's group in 2007. And what happens is the cell actually responds to this and becomes, leaner. The cell protects itself.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, hormesis is an amazing phenomenon, in my opinion. There's so many things that are hormetins out there that we can benefit from. But then there are a lot of things that if you take it too far, they backfire on you. Here's what we're going to do. Yep. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to come back and speak more with Wouter de Haas about metformin as a possible drug to extend life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that were going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Wouter de Haas about metformin as a possible longevity drug. Later in the show, Mike Mahler joins us to talk about living life aggressively, why it is important to live life aggressively. So in these in the C. elegans, Wouter, how much longer did the treated worms live than just the wild-type worms?
Well, on average, about 30%.
And there were also some morphological changes that were observed as well, right? I guess it's called the cuticle, the outer portion of the worm's skin.
Yeah, that's true.
Explain what you noticed differently in the metformin worms.
Well, in general, I think a lot of people don't just want to get older; they want to get old healthier when they grow older. They don't want to age like we do now. They want to still be healthy when they grow older. And so, what I noticed when doing a lot of experiments on metformin treated worms was that these worms didn't show the same age-related decline in morphology as control worms. So what actually happens in worms when they get older, it's kind of surprising, but it resembles humans a lot. They start shrinking in size. They gain wrinkles or something similar to wrinkles, and so forth. And what I actually noticed was these worms, they remained large. They didn't shrink in size. So I started wondering why this was, and with microscopy, we could show that indeed the cuticle was less wrinkled, more stable, and this probably explains the more stable size of these worms. So metformin in C. elegans didn't just increase lifespan, it made them age more healthy. So
it has a double positive effect. Why do worms die as a rule? So for instance, If a human does everything right, they generally die of heart failure. The heart just can't pump any longer, and it stops. So how do worms typically die?
Well, one of the main factors that was reported was bacterial pecking. So these worms eat bacteria, and when they grow older, they have a grinder in their mouth to actually grind these bacteria. And when they grow older, this gets less efficient. And this is one of the reasons they die, because the bacteria starts multiplying in their guts, and a lot of negative effects ensue. And secondary is just a lot of the tissues in C. elegans, they start swelling, like the gonads start to produce too many egg cells, or not really egg cells anymore, but they start to show signs of more like cancerous growth, not true cancer, but over replication, which can also cause death. And there's tissue instability in other tissues as well. But it's not 100% known, but they think those are the main factors, the main cause.
Well, I guess the reason I'm asking this is that did the worms treated with metformin die for a different reason than what is the norm? Did they seem to be healthier in these areas that usually takes a worm's life and as such die from some other fatality?
Well, I can't be too sure, because we never really tested why they still died, but they remained a lot. It's how to explain this. Like, you can really tell when a worm is old because they look extremely shrunken and they don't move as actively anymore. And metformin-treated worms, they still looked relatively healthy and active right until the moment they died. So it's hard to tell what actually caused that in these worms, but it still happened. So it's hard to tell. I can't give you a straightforward answer.
Okay. The thing I really like about this study is a couple things. First of all, it definitely elucidates the importance of managing blood sugar and its effect on longevity, number one. Number two, it changes the discussion about the mitochondrial theory of aging. Dr. Aubrey de Grey, who's been on my show a couple times over the years, is the person who really wrote one of the best papers on the mitochondrial theory of aging. And in his mind, oxidative stress and reactive oxygen species should be kept at a minimum in order to prolong life. And this says exactly the opposite. I like that.
Yeah.
Because when Aubrey and I had a discussion, he was drinking a pint of beer, actually. We had this discussion here in Louisville. And he said, you know, exercise is no good. You're just producing more ROS. You're damaging the body faster, and it's no good. But this changes the discussion. This makes you go, well, wait a minute. Maybe what we thought about reactive oxygen species isn't true. My good friend Adele Musa was on this show several times, and we talked about the fact that our reactive oxygen species may actually be what destroys cells that would normally become tumor cells before they become tumor cells.
Yeah, that's true.
So what we think, and this is what happens in science all the time. What we thought was bad turns out to be good, but nothing is absolute. We can't say, well, ROS was bad. Now ROS is good. No, what we have to say is, in certain conditions, ROS is not good. In certain conditions, ROS is good. But
yep,
we can't just say, oh, well, increasing oxidative stress on the mitochondria is a bad thing. It's going to shorten life because, as we see here, it prolonged life in these worms.
Yep, true, indeed. Similarly in humans, the group of Michael Ristoff actually showed that some of the positive effects of exercise might be dependent on an increase in mitochondrial reactive oxygen stress as well. So there's that.
Well, and don't forget, exercise increases mitochondrial biogenesis, mitochondrial number in cells, and size, which would say that, oh my gosh, exercise is going to kill you faster. But when we look at lifelong athletes, and I'm not talking about Olympic athletes who destroy their bodies at all costs for a gold medal. I'm talking about people who train for their entire lives. They don't age the same way that the average person ages. They age much better.
Yeah, so, exercise is extremely beneficial, true. And like I said, it might be largely dependent on the reactive oxygen stress as well.
So that could actually be the reason for the benefits. We just don't know. So what is the next research you will do? Is there further research that you're going to do now as a result of your findings in this one?
I'd like to continue, yes, focus more on the peroxyredoxin, as you said, because I think that might be an interesting target for future interventions.
You know,
if we ever want to.
I just thought of something. So thyroid hormone is thought as being bad. Thyroid hormone is thought as aging a person faster. There was a lot of discussion about thyroid hormone. Well, the reason that thyroid hormone drops as we age is because it's designed to prolong life. But here's an interesting fact about thyroid hormone. Both T4 and T3, the more active form of thyroid hormone, are mitochondrial uncoupling agents. They have the effect of uncoupling mitochondria. This is why you sweat more and produce more body heat for the same amount of energy expenditure when you have higher thyroid hormone levels than low. If you look at a person who has hyperthyroid and euthyroid and hypothyroid, you have them all do the same exercise. The person with euthyroid sweats more than the person with hypothyroid, and the person with hyperthyroidism sweats more than the person with euthyroid. And that's because thyroid hormone acts as a mitochondrial uncoupler. Well, guess what else that does? It causes the mitochondria to produce more ROS. Because you're consuming more oxygen, the mitochondria has to work harder. It's not able to work as efficient, so it puts off more heat. So maybe what we think about thyroid hormone, just the way we thought about our reactive oxygen species, is not completely accurate either. Maybe there may be some benefits to having a healthy thyroid later in life, and its effect on maybe mitigating the changes that normally happen to the mitochondria as we age.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. As you said earlier, the importance of hormesis, so it's gaining traction in aging research. So that actually toxins or molecules that do damage might be actually good for aging and health in low concentrations.
But these all have to be studied through the, I think there are six hormetin pathways to identify something as a hormetin. I forget if they are six, but I think there are five, six, or seven pathways that when something is a hormetin, these are the things that it works, the pathways it works through. We have to be careful about hormetins, and I'll tell you why. Because as humans, we love risky behavior. There's a lot of people out there going, well, alcohol is a hormetin. If you have just enough alcohol every single day, it'll actually extend life. And there are certain things that I don't believe are hormetins, okay? I don't think that taking a small knife and stabbing yourself every day is going to protect you against being stabbed mortally someday. You know what I mean?
I don't think that will work either.
Yeah. So my point, and that's an exaggeration, but my point is we tend to want to use the hormetin theory on the things that we like to do. Well, smoking a cigarette every day is a hormetin. I don't necessarily agree with that one. Okay? I think you got to look at what damage we know it produces against what we think it may be doing as a hormetin. And you have to weigh those and be honest about it, because not everything that is bad for us is going to turn out to be a hormetin.
No, of course, true. I think a lot depends on the concentration you use. And in the case of cigarette smoke, I think the negative effects have been proven. So I don't think the positive effects of any stress caused by cigarette smoke will ever outweigh the negative aspects of developing lung cancer and so forth. So indeed, I don't think you can ever use cigarettes as an example for hormesis.
There are people out there that are doing it. I've heard this discussion against from very, very intelligent people who are saying, you know, if you smoke maybe one cigarette a week, it'll actually be beneficial because it could be a hormetin. And I don't buy that. There are other people who are saying that some of the artificial sweeteners that research has been shown that they may not be good for us. Well, now they're trying to say, well, but maybe they have a hormetic effect. See, this is my fear. Industry will try to capitalize on the vagueness of hormesis by saying, well, yes, we know that this is bad for us, but we found out that if you have just a little bit every day, it's actually good for you. This is my fear about what could happen with hormesis. So we have to be careful of that. Listen, Voder, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and talking about this research. Good research. Very, very good.
Yeah, no problem. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you very much. Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mike Mahler to talk about why it's important to live life aggressively. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The reason this government loves Monsanto, because we can no longer afford to do what we've been doing, which is giving everyone money to be our allies.
The war against Monsanto continues.
And there's an old saying, he who controls the food controls the population. You don't have to lift a finger or point a gun to completely control a population. All you have to do is control their food.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Weekdays at noon.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can't C eye drops. The name says it all.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
This has been the week for guest mishaps. I don't know what went wrong. We were supposed to have Mike Mahler on, but looks like I can't reach him. So we're going to have to reschedule Mike to come on and talk about why it's important to live life aggressively. Well, what are you going to do? These things happen. This is live radio. Obviously, I could carry the show for a half hour talking about nonsense, talking about myself, my training. But this being my birthday, my 56th birthday, I got to be honest. I mean, when I was a young guy, I don't think that I gave much thought to being 56. And those of you listening to the show who are in your 20s, you know, it's all about partying, having a good time. And I understand that. But this time goes fast, in a blink of an eye. Looking forward, life is funny. When you're looking at getting someplace, it always seems to take longer than getting home from wherever you went. I don't know why that is. Maybe there's a reason that can be explained in physics. I'm not sure. But what I can tell you is the same is true about life. I mean, I couldn't wait to get older. I couldn't wait to get married, have children, and do all those things. And they come very quickly. And then you look back and you go, wow, 56 years is gone. I mean, it went so fast. So for those of you who are in your 20s and even 30s listening to the show, I tell you this with all sincerity. You don't have to think about your later life day in and day out. But you should be paying some attention to it. And some of the things that you're doing today should take into consideration that when you get older, you may not be able to do some of those things, or you're going to have to work harder to be able to do them. So you really do have to give some consideration to getting older, because you will get older if you're lucky. When I was a young man, I dare say that a lot of people probably would have considered me a flake. You know, I was a product of the 70s, and drug use was very, very popular. It was condoned. It was expected. It wasn't frowned upon. And I rode with a very, very hard group of bikers, and I lived a reckless and fast life. I moved to Las Vegas, and while my clothing changed and my haircut changed, I still led a pretty fast life. And as a result of that, I think that I could have done a lot of things better with my time than those things that I did back then. Now, granted, I wouldn't go back and change anything because they made me who I am today. But you really do need to consider that you are going to get older. That's all I say. Just think about that once in a while, because you will get older. But here I am, 56 years old, and very, very happy about being 56. You know, when I was at the gym today, a couple people came up to me and wished me happy birthday and joked around and said, oh, you know, how old are you, 29 and holding? And I said, no, I'm 56, and I'm proud of being 56. I am excited about being 56. I started telling people who asked my age a couple weeks ago that I was already 56. The average person doesn't want to admit that they're a year older until midnight, the night of their birthday. Oh, I'm still 55 until midnight. Baloney. I'm 56. And you know what? I hope that when I turn 65, I'm as strong as I am right now. That's my goal. That's my short-term goal, to get to 65 and be this strong. And then from there, it'll be 75 and 85 and so on. And I want to die just like those little C. elegans that we just talked to Wouter de Haas about. You know, he said the one thing that was different about the little worms, that they manage their blood sugar with metformin, is that the other worms slowed down and did less, but these worms were just as active right up until the moment they just stopped. And that's got to be the goal of the superhuman. The superhuman is not going to live forever, but they're going to squeeze every drop out of life till the last moment that their heart beats. That's got to be it. The goal has to be not to be secluded in an institution, confined to a bed or a wheelchair for the last 10, 15 years of your life, to be in full stride, engaged in life until the last minutes that you die. And you just drop like those little worms, just stop working, boop, that's it. That's got to be the answer. That's got to be the decision. That's got to be the choice of the superhuman. Because we are going to die. Like Chris Rock says in that funny song, there's no sex in the champagne room, when he does the horoscopes, he goes, Aquarius, you're going to die. Pisces, you're going to die. Gemini, you're going to die twice. Well, it's true. We're all going to die, but the way we die is in our control. We can do it on our terms, not on the terms that most people do, where they just end up in a facility for the end of their life. So, we're going to go ahead and pull the plug on the show now. And we've got great show tomorrow. Don't forget Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio with Ken O'Neill tomorrow. A lot of people are really digging that show. I'm glad. And of course, Casual Friday is coming up this week, the end of the week. So we'll have some good stories there as well. All right. Listen, thank you so much for listening and joining me on my birthday. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
You know, these politicians, they don't care. And you know what the worst part is? Their children and their grandchildren are being affected by these genetically modified foods.
The GMO issue affects everybody.
So they're not only just selling their own souls, they're selling the souls of their offspring, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephew, who are being exposed to these things that are going to cause disease.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.